Presidential candidate Gary Johnson was mocked when he said, "What is Aleppo?" when asked about the city that, as MSNBC's Mike Barnicle said, is the epicenter of the Syrian refugee crisis. But even if you knew that, you'd be forgiven for not knowing the history of the city and why Aleppo is so important. The war has ravaged Aleppo, which was once known as the jewel of Syria, but is now half under rebel and half under pro-government control. What was Aleppo like before the civil war began in 2012? What is its history? Charles Wilkins is an associate professor of Middle East history at Wake Forest University. Let's ask him. And Professor, we understand Aleppo is one of the world's oldest continually inhabited cities.
That's correct. We have records dating it back at least to the third millennium BC. And from that time, it has been inhabited by a long series of differing civilizations and peoples. So very rich in its history.
It was an Islamic cultural capital right up there with Cairo, Constantinople. Tell us why. Is its positioning? Is its people? Why?
Well, its geographical position perhaps was strongest in determining its fate. It was placed in an area that connected Anatolia with lands to the south, that is what is today the Fertile Crescent, the Arabian Peninsula, Egypt, and to the east, Iran and India. And running east-west, of course, it connected Europe with the rest of Asia. So it was very well placed to be what was called a caravan city, with those caravans carrying goods, people, and ideas between those various points.
It was absorbed at one point into the Roman Empire, conquered by Arab Muslim troops in 636 AD, we read. We're only at 636 AD. And then decades later, the Great Mosque was built. What's the significance of that?
So the Great Mosque was built by one of the earliest Islamic caliphates, the Umayyad Caliphate. Its minaret, which was destroyed during the Civil War, was an object of great beauty. The mosque itself remained in the very heart of the city, close to the markets and to all the centers of culture and, yeah, and of trade.
Well, and that's around 700 AD, as we said. Aleppo was conquered by the Mongols later. It, as we said, became part of the Ottoman Empire. But then bring us into more modern times, at least for an ancient city like this. It really started to change, if I'm reading this correctly, when France and Great Britain cut up the borders of modern Syria and cut Aleppo off from some of that caravan traffic?
That's right. Following the First World War, there was an effort by indigenous peoples, namely the Arab people, to establish an independent Arab kingdom. However, the French asserted their control over Syria and basically drew lines that separated Syria from the modern Republic of Turkey and also created Iraq and Syria. So you have various new modern political boundaries that separated the city of Aleppo from its natural hinterland that included southern Turkey today, as well as what is the city of Iskenderun or Alexandretta in Turkey. And then further to the east, it separated it from Mosul in Iraq, also an important sort of trading partner with Aleppo. So it was, in fact, a cataclysm for Aleppo when those modern boundaries were drawn, because its economic ties were severed.
Well, then that explains its comeback after Syrian independence. Aleppo now becomes a major industrial center. I'm going to leap ahead. By 2005, it's a bustling city, mostly Sunni Muslims. What was the city like before this most recent civil war?
It was a very large city. It was a metropolis with over 2 million people, the largest city in Syria itself. But approaching the city from where I normally approached it, from Damascus, going by bus, it would be a very long ride through many, many suburbs, usually of apartment blocks, before you reach the city center, where you would find rising in the horizon the ancient citadel, the tel, on which you would find the military fortification. And then to the west side of that is the famous covered market. It's said that the square area of that market is one of the largest in the Middle East, perhaps the largest one being in Istanbul, and Aleppo being second.
It's a souk, right? A souk?
It's a souk. That's right, the souk.
Yeah. Well, so tell us a little more about what did it feel like? What did it smell like? You know, what was a thriving Aleppo before the Civil War?
Well, you would enter the ancient city through the walls, usually from the west. And as you enter it, you immediately smell spices. Walking further in, you encounter shops selling soap, olive oil. Aleppo is famed for its soap. Further on, you might even find heavy wool cloaks to wear in the cold Aleppan winters.
Bustling, thriving. I mean, these are words that we hear to describe Aleppo. Well, now, for many who are seeing Aleppo, they're seeing piles of rubble and babies being pulled from rubble. Having been there, I mean, how are you receiving that?
I can hardly put into words my emotions in seeing the city brought to its knees in this way. I mean, the bombing of the city, the besiegement of the city has forced many residents of Aleppo to flee and to relocate. So it's a depopulated city. You have a ghost town in many areas, a ghost town that is also in rubble. A very depressing picture indeed. Many of the friends, the people that I knew in Aleppo, have long since gone. People need to be constantly reminded of what is going on. I know we're so focused on national politics right now, but in fact, I fear that Syria is taking advantage of our focus on national politics to sort of rain terror upon Aleppo and other parts. So.
Well,
anyway.
It's heartbreaking to see some of these images of infants in particular being pulled from rubble. But then you also remember this is life going on. These are infants that were somehow conceived in the middle of all of this. It's stunning.
Yes, that's right. I mean, the government-controlled part of Aleppo today, the western part, has been able to preserve some measure of normality. One can still shop, one can still even go to school, but that normality can be very fragile and gone in a second. It's amazing if we look back in historical perspective, it has suffered multiple defeats, multiple sieges. It was attacked and razed by the Mongols, many parts of it were, and as yet was reborn and returned to its former grandeur. So I think that we'd be wrong to think that that Aleppo may not regain its.
You do believe that because the souk burned, great loss there. But do you think the great mosque will stand?
Well, the structure of the prayer hall is, while damaged, I think remains intact. The minaret, which I mentioned earlier, was targeted and hit and was destroyed. But I think all the pieces remain there, and it may be possible to reconstruct the minaret using photographs and other historical material. So I think there is a realistic expectation that once a war ends, they will be able to restore the mosque extensively. I hold out hope for it to be returned to its former magnificence.
And what about Aleppans? They're a huge part of the refugee crisis. I mean, you've spoken with them. You know some of them. I mean, will they return?
I think there are a significant number of Aleppans who are basically waiting it out. They're hoping for some kind of resolution. So I think they place great hopes in that city and a return to peace, and I know they want to return because I think they are aware of its enduring economic potential due to its location, its geography, its climate, et cetera.
It's history.
It's history, absolutely.
Yeah. Charles Wilkins, Associate Professor of Middle East History at Wake Forest University. Answering the question, what is Aleppo? Professor, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.